Okay, I would like to discuss with you the topic of kaparos. What exactly is kaparos? So many of us do kaparos with money, right? We take the siddur and we turn to page 334. You don't have to do that in the article siddur, and it begins the mizmor in Tehillim. The mizmor begins, Yoshvei Choshech V'Tzalmaves. For some reason, we'll get to in a moment, we start with the words B'nei Adam, Yoshvei Choshech V'Tzalmaves. We read a mizmor in Tehillim. We then take in our hands either money or a chicken, and we swirl it around our head. Our heads either three times or seven times or one time, and we say Zeh Chalifasi, Zeh Timudasi, Zeh Kaparasi, Zeh HaTarnagol, or Zeh HaMaman Yelich Litztaka, or Zeh HaTarnagol Yelich Lemisa, V'ani Ekones V'eilech L'chayim Toivim Aruchim U'Lishalayim. This is an ancient minhag, goes back over 1,000 years, called the minhag of Kaparos. The first one to quote this minhag is the Mordechai. The Mordechai was from the Gedolei Hadar, the Paiske Hadar. He was
murdered in 1099.
1099, so the very end of the 11th century. And he quotes that it's not, he was a Rishon, the Mordechai, but he quotes that this comes from the Geonim. Okay, the Geonim came after the Rabbanim Savaroi, came after the time of... No, I don't think so. I think it was a universal minhag. The first mention of let's just talk about in more modern times. There is a machlokes between the Machaber and the Rama. The Machaber says that the Beis Yosef, the Machaber says that kaparos should not be done. It borders on nichush.
Yes.
It borders on magic, on sorcery,
yes.
And all of these things that are not a nice Orthodox Jew should not be practicing. The Rama says that's not our minug. Our minug is to do the mitzvah, is to do the minug of kaparos. And it appears that the Svardim have also accepted. Many of them have accepted upon themselves to do the minug. And somehow it was a very popular minhag. Okay, the Mordechai brings down the minhag. Originally, the minhag was done, believe it or not, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. It was not done Erev Rosh Hashanah. It was not done Erev Yom Kippur. It was not done during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It was done on Rosh Hashanah itself. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. You're allowed a shecht. You're allowed to do shechita on Yom Tov. They would take the bird and they would swirl the bird around their head. They would say, it seems that they did not say the mizmor. All of these embellishments that we have today in the siddur are all new modern innovations of how we embellish. They just would swirl it around their head. I don't know if they would say anything altogether. They would shech the chicken. It was part of their sudas Yom Tov, and it was self-understood that the mice that they're doing to the bird will come to whatever it does, it was done. At a later point in time, it became the minhag to do it either Erev Rosh Hashanah, or to do it like we do today, or to do really Erev Yom Kippur. That's when it became very popular. The ideal time to do kaparos brought down is to do it early in the morning, B'Ashmeres HaBoker Erev Yom Kippur, at the very end of the night. At the time when we recite Slichos, that is an Eis Rotzayin, that is the ideal time to do kaparos. Obviously, it's not very practical for everyone to do kaparos, especially if you're using chickens, to do it the very last moment before the end of the day. So therefore, it became the minhag to do it the entire Erev Yom Kippur, or to even do it during the entire Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. Some have a custom to do it bedavka on the night of Hoshana Rabbah. So it turns out there are four different legitimate minhagim, or really five minhagim, when to do kaparos. Rosh Hashanah, the first day Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur B'Ashmeres HaBoker, the whole Erev Yom Kippur, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, or the Leil Hoshana Rabbah. I just quoted a few, six different minhagim, when is the proper time to do kaparos. What are you trying to accomplish when you do kaparos? So there's a whole long list, a whole long collection of ideas. The most popular idea is that you're doing to the chicken the Dalid Misois Bezdin. Just like Erev Yom Kippur, we get down and we have Malkus. Know that a person, one of the reasons why you get Malkus is because Chazal say anyone that is Chayiv Skila, but the Matei Ephraim system, the reason why you get Malkus is to, it should arouse you to do Teshuvah. There's another reason why you get Malkus. Anyone that is Chas V'Shalom Chayiv Kares, if he gets Malkus, he is exempt. This man should base Hamikdash HaYekayim, if a person was Chayiv Kol Chayiv Ekresos, Loikin, anyone that was Chayiv Karis would get Malkus, and getting Malkus would spear the person's neshama from the Chayiv of Karis. So by getting a symbolic type of Malkus, Erev Yom Kippur, so you're spearing yourself Chas V'Shalom from any form of punishment of Karis. Anytime a person violates a halacha with a Chayiv Karis, so you don't have to have Hasra and Edim, automatically the Chiv of Karis. By getting a Malkus, you are exempting yourself from the Chiv of Karis. So when we do Kaparis, according to many opinions, what we're really doing to the bird is the Dalid Misois Bezdin. Where the Dalid Misois Bezdin? When you take the chicken down to the place of slaughter, that's considered to be Skila. Well, let me read. When you do the Maisa Shechita, let me read what it says. When you do, I'll read you what it says over here. Who says this? This is Hamahariv. He quotes him very often. One of the Rishonim. Kasav lanu Hamahariv. B'shuvaisav simkuf sadi alif shuhu kidei lo'or b'nei adam l'achzor b'shuvah v'yachshu b'liba shekol mash nasa b'oif shel hakapara. Dugmas arba misois bezdin. Here he goes. Hayuroi lasos bo, the four forms of death should be done to the person himself. Ki be'ez shehashoychid oiches hasimonim b'tzavar ha'oif, when the shoychid grabs the neck of the animal, and that is chenek, chudugmas chenek, that is strangulation. When you hold the bird in position in order to do the ma'isa shechita, in effect what you're doing is a dugma of misas chenek, strangulation. And when you take the knife and you cut the neck of the animal, that is a dugma of herek, of cutting, of decapitation. And after you finish, you throw it to the ground. After you do the ma'aseh shechita, you're supposed to take the bird and throw the bird on the ground. That is skila, because skila, they were thrown to the ground. And then when you take the bird and you prepare it, you roast it in fire, that is sreifa. So you're basically doing to the bird the dalid, four different things which resemble the dalid misos bezdin, and the person is supposed to pay attention, is supposed to realize that he may be deserving of misa, for the dalid misos, and when we do these four things to the bird, this is supposed to arouse the person. It's symbolic that it has happened to me. Zeh chalifasi, zeh timurasi, that the dalid misos bezin has been done to me, and now I am exempt. So take note, when you get malchus at mincha, and you got the dalid misos bezin with kaparis, you're covered. You're covered 100%. There's no chorus, and there's no Dalid Misois Bezdin. This is what the Maharib says. Now, there's another time. Other time is that it's a dugma, it's in order to get us into the mode of the Soir HaMishtaleach. The Avodah of Yom Kippur involves the Sur HaMishtaleach, Echel Hashem, Echel HaZazel. Not everyone is able to see the Sur HaMishtaleach be sent off the cliff. So we do a dugma of something that reminds us of the Sur HaMishtaleach by doing something similar to this, to a bird. We take a bird and we give the bird all of our sins. We fashtup into the bird all of our sins and we slaughter the bird. Similar to what the Kohen Gadol does, he puts upon the head of the Soir HaMishtaleach all of the sins of Klal Yisrael and he throws it off the cliff. It gets us into the spirit of what Yontif is all about. Now, when is the ideal? We already mentioned when the ideal time is. Now, let me jump and discuss over here something that's very interesting. When we begin doing the kaparis, it is our custom to begin with the recital of a mizmor until a mizmor kuv zayin is to come at the very end of Sefer Tehillim. But the big, big mystery, which I don't know of an answer to, I'll tell you what it says here, is why do we begin with the words b'nei adam? Everyone knows that kaparis begins with the words b'nei adam. Yoshvei choshech v'tzalmoves, asirei oni uvarzel, those that dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, that are bound in bonds of poverty and barzel. We have mispalo that Hashem should take us out of darkness and shadow of death, and that the cord should be snapped. V'chulu v'chulu, and we say the words in this mizmor. Im yesh olav malach melitz echad mine elef lahagid laadam yashav. Halavai, that we should have even one malach that will declare righteousness and spare us. So basically, what we're doing here is we're reciting the middle of mizmor kuf lamed. Now, unfortunately, people kuf zayin. People can read this kaparis their entire life and not realize that the pasuk does not begin with the word bnei adam. The pasuk begins with the word, it's in the middle, it's really smack in the middle of Mizmor Kuf Zayin. We don't start from the beginning. The Mizmor begins, Hoidu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto. We start in the middle of the Mizmor, but the word B'nei Adam is not part of the pasuk. So how in the world did these two words, B'nei Adam, get into the beginning of Kaparos, in the beginning of this pasuk? It's surreptitiously has entered, and people think it's part of the pasuk. It's not part of the pasuk. So ad kedei kach, some want to suggest that there's a tohos hatfus, there's a printer's error. That's how it all started. It originally said on top of the mizmar Beis Aleph, and Beis Aleph stand for Beis Anoshim, two people, which means that two people should participate in doing the kaparis. Now let's take a step back. I want to jump back now. How do we do kaparis? Today the common way to do kaparis is we do it ourselves. You go into the corner of the room, you take some money, or you take a chicken, and you read it, you say it either seven times or three times, and then you swing it around your head. That's not the way it was originally done. The way it was originally done was you would go to the Gadol Hadar. You would go to your Rav. You go to the Chacham. Okay, can you imagine today you come to your Rav and say, I'm here for kaparis. Your rabbi will look at you, or you're off the wall. What are you doing bothering me, Erev Yom Kippur, with kaparis? But that's really the way you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go to the Rav. And the Rav is the one that will do for you kaparis. The Rav will take the chicken, the Rav will take the money, and will swirl it around your head, and it will say, Zeh Tumura Zeh. This is an exchange for you. And now, if you don't have the ability to go to the Rav, then you go to your parents, you go to your grandparents, you go to an Adam Chashuv, or to someone, the senior member of your family, to do the kaparis. They care about you. They'll do it sincerely. Sometimes they care about you more than you care about yourself. For some unknown reason, it became the minhag where everyone does it themselves. But that's clearly not the way it was meant to be done. It's meant to be done by the Gadol Habayis. A parent, like the parent of Rosh Habayis, would do it for all of his children. Now, what became a big issue was, since you're going to the Rosh Habayis, so how many chickens do you need for kaparis? If you're going, let's say you have the Rosh Habayis, anyway, going to the Rav. So the Rav has to have in his backyard a farm. He has to have 1,000 chickens for every single Bala Bas in his shul to do the kaparis. Is that necessary? So the answer is no. So this is a very big machlokes in the Paiskim. If you need to have a separate chicken for every single person, or you can use the same chicken for all of your Bala Batim, or for all of the people in your family. So this is machlokes depending on the Magen Avram and others. So some want to suggest the reason why it says Beis, originally it says Beis Aleph, which means Beis Anoshim, which means more than one person. A lot of this is not clear what this means. More than one person can use the chicken. The Bnei Adam was never meant to be Bnei Adam. That's somehow a printer thought Beis Aleph stands for Bnei Adam and put it into the Nusach. It was meant to say that more than one person can use the same chicken or the same money for the kaparis. And then it was expanded to Bnei Adam. Many Paiskim disagree and they say this is not correct. It's not true, because even in the earliest sources of kaparis, we have the words Bnei Adam spelled out. So then the mystery is, so what then does it mean Bnei Adam? So someone suggests that person should not think it's Nichosh. When we're not familiar with the custom, but when Nichosh was done, you would first call upon the Koichos of Tuma. You would address Malachim, you would address Klipais, who knows who you would address, in order that you should bring them to this world, in order that they should do their thing, hocus pocus, and save you from your problems. we from the very start and say, we're not here today to do anything chas v'shalom that resembles magic, black magic. B'nei Adam. This is something that purely relates to the sphere of mankind. There is no magic involved. It's just a mizmor of Tehillim. It's something symbolic in order to arouse us that it's the Yom HaDin, it's serious business, our life is on the line, and we want to impress upon ourselves we are deserving of the Dalet Misal Spezdin, and we'll do something which will awaken us to do tshuva for our chataim. So we open up, this is really the summary of probably like all the Perushim he presents here of why we say B'nei Adam. It's a way to make it clear we're not involved in magic. We are doing something which is purely in the realm of humanity. B'nei Adam, that's our Hakdama. And then we begin the Mizmar. Okay, now many people are misnaged to the Mechaber. The Mechaber himself is very much against the practice of kaparos, because it appears to the common man that all you have to do is kaparos and you're going to spare your neshama from any harm, which means nothing further than the truth. You have to be mispalal, you have to be mispalal to Hashem to have kaparos. It's not going to happen by itself. So therefore there are many people who hold that kaparos should not be done at all. Others say that's not true. This is minakad mine. The only reason why there was a protest was because of there were not enough sheikhtim, there were not enough butchers, not enough people who can properly do a ma'isa shechita and distribute and do the bedika, make the inspection to make sure all of the organs of the bird are okay, that it's kosher. And since the ideal time to do the kaparis is Erev Yom Kippur B'Hashmeres Saboker, first of all, it's dark, you can't even see what you're doing, and people are in a rush. It was very common that the shechita was not good, and people were eating Erev Yom Kippur nevelois utrefos. So therefore, they objected to this practice because of the impossibility for the masses to do on the bird a proper shechita. So they said either it should not be done, or some suggest that you should use money, the chaye adam, right, says it's your site. That if people only listened to him, they would abolish the practice of doing kaparis with birds. They should instead use money. Now, what happens if you do not have money? What should you know, if you don't have a chicken? Let's say people do have a chicken. When people use a chicken, some people they use fish. Okay, do you ever hear of such a minhag? It appears it was a very common minhag to use fish. Some people have a minhag to use seeds. To use seeds because ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. Somehow seeds, ki adam eitz hasadeh. I'm not exactly sure why seeds relate to a tree, and adam is an eitz hasadeh. It's ideal thing to use seeds. Now those people who use birds, it's interesting, there are many minhagim, some have hakpada bedavka to use a white bird. Because white is the color of im yu chatoechem kashoni kasheleg yalbinu im yadimu katolo katzemer yuyu, symbolic it should be white. This in ancient times became a very big problem because white was very expensive. It was an exclusive, it was a luxury item, and people started spending money on white birds instead of giving the money to tzedakah. So again, Rabbanim were very upset with the minhag, and they called for its abolishment because people were spending money on the wrong things. Now, what do you do with the bird? Let's say indeed you do use the bird. What are you supposed to do with the bird? So it all depends what the ikar reason. If the only reason why you're doing kaparis is in order to awaken the fact that your person may be chayev dalad misay spez, then you don't have to give the bird to a poor man. You eat the bird yourself. You do shechita, and you eat the bird as your sudas and afsekas yourself. The bird does not need to be given to tzedakah. However, according to the Tam, that we're doing something that is symbolic of the Soyer La'azazel, it's a little bit more disturbing. Because you're taking the second major reason why we do the kaparis is we're trying to get in the spirit of Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would deposit all of the sins of Klal Yisrael upon the Soyer La'azazel. So we mimic the Kohen Gadol, and we deposit our sins upon the bird. So why then would you want to eat this bird? This bird is poison. The bird has in it all of your sins. So indeed, if that's the Ikar Tam, the custom was to first redeem the bird. In other words, after, it's very interesting what the process is. You do kaparis, and then you take the whatever the bird cost. Okay, how much to cost the whole chicken today? It's $11 already? Whole chicken today, $10, $11, whatever it costs, and then you put the money on the side and you say, I want to exchange the bird onto the money. So you know it's a two-step process. You do kaparis on the bird, you then exchange the bird onto the money, so now the bird no longer has sins, the bird is clean from your sins, because it's all anyway in symbolic, and now you can eat the bird. And what do you do with the money? The money you give to tzedakah. You give to tzedakah or you do whatever you are. Now, then became a very big shot. What happens if you do kaparis and you discover that the bird is a treifa, or you mess up the shechita? You do shechita, and it turns out that it's not a good shechita. So this also all depends. If you learn at the time that you did this because you want to demonstrate the Dalet Misas Bezdin, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't make a difference. As long as you've done the Maisa Shechita, as long as you've done the four things, you've gripped it in your hand, that's chenek, you've done shechita, that's herek, you throw it down, and then you'll go and you'll singe the meat, some of the meat. So you've done all four things, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a kosher shechita, it's not a kosher shechita. But if the time is, you want the other reason you want to go and you want to put upon it all of the sins, all of your sins, and then you want to exchange and you want to eat the bird, okay, I'm not really even clear. So some learn that it's a bad sign. It's a bad sign that you have exchanged yourself for something which is not good. It's not a good exchange. It's not a good exchange if you've exchanged yourself, which is a living creature, for something that's a treifa that was not kosher. So there are indeed opinions that say that you should do it again. If you do the shechita and the shechita turns out not to be a good shechita, it's not. You have to go do the kaparos again. Okay. Now. Okay. The next. I'm forgetting what I wanted to say. Okay, now this expression, Zeh Chalifasi, Zeh Tmurasi, Zeh Kaparasi, is an important expression because the Rosh Eitevos of these three words spell Chatach. Chatach. Chalifasi is Ches, Kapara Tmurasi is Tav, and Kaparasi is Chaf, which spell the word Chatach. Chatach means to cut, and according to the rules of Kabbalah, it's the last letters of the words Poseach Es Yodecha. Poseach Es Yodecha Maspil L'chol Chayr Son is a very important pasuk. You have to have kavanah when you say this in Ashrei. If you don't have kavanah, you have to repeat the pasuk again. And Chazal said that the last letters of Poseach is Ches, Es is Tav, Yodecha is Chaf, is the name of the Malach that is in charge of Parnasa. So when you're saying these three nuschois, Zeh Chalifasi, Zeh Tmurasi, Zeh Kaparasi, you are invoking the Malach, Chatach, in order to bring for you Parnasa, whatever this means. That's why these two, that's why this nusach is considered to be an important nusach. Some indeed have the minig at Erev Rosh Hashanah to buy a new knife. Can anyone have that custom? To sharpen your knife or to buy a new knife? Chatach. Why a new knife? Because a knife does cuts. It cuts. Chatach, you're coming to allude that it should be a year of Chatach, the year of Parnasa, Poseach Es Yodecha. This fits very well according to the custom that the Kaparis was originally done on the first day Rosh Hashanah, or was done on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the same time when you buy the new knife, which is a knife, is something which does Chatach, it does cutting, which alludes to the Malach Chatach. You're also alluding to that when you say the Nusach of Tumurasi, Zeh Tmurasi, Zeh Chalifasi, Tmurasi, Kaparasi. Okay, now there is an interesting custom that if a person is doing kaparis for his children, as the way it should be done is where the Rosh Habayis, he does kaparis for all the members of his family, the minig is that he should do kaparis for himself first. Yavoi Tohar, V'yasek Batoharim. You should first cleanse yourself. After you, yourself, V'chiper Ba'adoi U'va'ad Beiso. The Kohen Gadol first atones for himself and his family before he atones for the whole Klal Yisrael. So who does it for him? So either he goes to the Rav does it for him. Who does it for the Rav then? Someone has to start the process first, and then you proceed. The one that's doing for you Kaparis should be already have had Kaparis done for him. Now there's another, then this is a very interesting topic of Kisui Hadam. He said that if you do it the real way by using a bird, so part of the inyan of kaparis is that you should also do the kisei adam. You have a shaychet, and the shaychet does the shchita. And there's a big question: who does the kisui hadam? So there's a halachic issue: is the shaykhid, does he even have the right to be mechabed to allow someone else to do the mitzvah of kisui hadam? There's a machlokes apoyskim if it's correct. So there are two different opinions, and they make the following distinction: when a shaykhid allows someone to do kisui hadam, is he allowing them to do kisui hadam midin kavod? I want to be mechabed you with the mitzvah, or is he doing it midin shlichus? It's my mitzvah. I am making you the shliach to do kisui hadam.
But here, this kaper is the one making the shoychet his shliach to shech.
It doesn't matter. Once he's the shoychet, he becomes possessive. He now becomes the baal. He has baalus on the kisui hadam. When you give a person, when you appoint a person, you're my agent to do shchita. First of all, there's not in shlichos by the shchita. I'm hiring you to do the shchita. The one that does the quoting, this is a very interesting idea because let me take a step back. There is a custom that if you are doing the kaparis with a bird, takef l'smicha shchita. Just like when it comes to a carbon, there's a principle that right after you do smicha, every time you bring a carbon, almost every single carbon is accompanied by smicha. The bialim have to rest their hands upon the animal and confess. And right after the confession, they do the smicha. There's not supposed to be a delay between the smicha of a carbon and the shchita. The minhag is that this principle is applied ideally when it comes to kaparis. That you kaparis, what are you doing when you bring kaparis? You're doing smicha, you're confessing. I really deserve that everything that happens to this bird should happen to me. In exchange, zeh chalifasi, zeh tumurasi, zeh kaparasi. Immediately after you recite your confession, there should be shchita. The shoychet should do it. So you're there, and that's why in some of these tents they have to say they're outlawed. Today, Baruch Hashem, they've taken them further out of the city. They don't like, people don't like the smell. It's a very big problem today. It's not healthy to have in the middle of Avenue J to have tents where we're doing kaparis. So they try to get them to go in a place where it's not a hazard to the environment and to people. Okay, there in Bar Park they get away with it. There's a demand for it, but in Flatbush there's a lot of opposition, so they don't get away with it. So that's why it's ideal. You'll notice a lot of these places, the place where they do the Yusei Kaporis is where they'll actually have on site the Shoychet. Because Tekef L'smicha Shchita. Then part of the process is they mechabed you, it's you, the Kaporis, you could do the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. Kisui Hadam. When the Shoychet gives you to do the Kisui Hadam, ideally he should say, I'm not being mechabed you. Because you're not allowed to be mechabed a person when it comes to your mitzvah. If it's my mitzvah, there's no kavod. There's no kavod. I'm making you my shaliach. It's a very important distinction. The shaychet ideally should say to the person who's bringing kaparis, it's my mitzvah. I don't have a right to be mechabed you with my mitzvah. It's my mitzvah. There's no kavod. If you have a shiloh who gets the only one person can do the mitzvah, then you mechabed the godel of the Beis HaKnesses, he gets the kavod of doing the mitzvah. But the one that does the shchita is the one that is the balabas on doing the mitzvah of kisui hadam. But it's rare for a person to have an opportunity to do kisui hadam, so the proper technique is the shoychet appoints the balabayas as the agent, his agent in doing the maisa kisui hadam. Now, some have a hakpada, we use birds, we bedafka use a tarnagol, a chicken. And the reason why the hakpada is to dafka use a chicken is because a chicken is a bird that is not kosher for a carbon. No one should chas v'shalom think that you're bringing a carbon shkut echutz outside the Beis HaMikdash, and that is why if you have toirim or b'nei yoina, doves, there's no such thing as bringing a kaparis by using a tar or a b'nei yoina. Okay, a dove, any type of bird that's from the turtle dove family or the dove might theoretically be kosher for a carbon. If it's theoretically kosher for a carbon, it is an absolute for a categorical prohibition to use it for kaparis, because no one should chas v'shalom think that you're bringing a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Some say also the reason why you use a tanagel, because a tanagel is called a gever in Hebrew, and a person is called a gever, and that's why it fits gever tachas gever. Others say it's not gever, it's gever prevails upon gevura. The difference between gever and gevura is, as a play on the word, gevura is feminine. Gevura means might. But gevura is an expression that's feminine, gevura with a hey at the end. Gever is the same exact word, but gever is masculine. The zachar always prevails upon the nekeva. That's a metzias, the gever. So therefore, on Yom HaYimei HaDin, it's a day of gevura. Gevura raised the concept of midas hadin, so we bedavka use a tarnagol, which is gever, to prevail upon gevura. Okay, the minig bisman hazeh is that the tarnagol, the tarnagol should go to the poor man. Now, in times of Chazal, when they actually shechted it and they gave it to the poor person, this became a very big problem because it was viewed as an insult. Here you go, and you put on the bird all of your sins, zeh chalifasi, zeh tzimurasi, zeh kaparasi, and you poor man, you suffer. You can consume all of my averos. So the poor people did not, like we mentioned before, the custom, really the truth is, you can eat it yourself. What's the problem with you eating the bread for Yisunim Afsekes? But according to those that learned that you're actually transferring symbolically your sins to the bird, so if you're going to eat it yourself, you're first going to redeem it. I'm going to redeem it upon money, and now when I redeem it upon money, the money goes to tzedakah, and the bird I keep. Some people, they didn't want to redeem the bird, they actually gave the bird itself to the poor man. That became a problem because it was viewed as an insult. Because the poor man, what was so poor, that's what we're good enough for, that we have to go and eat all of your sins. So therefore, this again became a problem. The ideal thing was it was not given to the poor person. It was first redeemed. It was redeemed onto money, and it was sold, and then money was given to the poor person. Okay, let me just see if I've got anything else I wanted to mention. Okay, the money goes to the poor. Okay, very interesting thing. What should you be wearing when you do? It seems that in ancient times, this is a very holy minhag, people would get dressed in their Shabbos clothing. You shouldn't put on shmatis. People today, they're so delicate, they put on diapers on the birds, right? They put on plastic coats. It's very interesting that he writes here that kaparis, where they were makbid, you should be dressed. Be dressed in your Shabbos clothing. It's a dover choshev ad ma'od. When you do kaparis, it's one of the earliest minhagim. From the earliest minhagim, and a person should be dressed, take it very seriously, and should be dressed, even if you do it with money. So don't just walk around in your pajamas when you do kaparis. Kaparis is something that is a very serious minhag. It's a holy minhag, and a person should take it seriously and should be dressed in a garment and in a mitzneves. Ad Kachi writes here, Yesh hanayhagim b'shas asis kaparis lahadlik ner. Just like when you go to a bris milah, you go to a pinyan ben, you go to a sudas mitzvah, you light a candle in honor of the mitzvah. Ad kidei kach. That's how choviv it was to do kaparis. It should be to be honest that you light a ner shel mitzvah. You put on the table a ner shel mitzvah, I'm now doing a mitzvah, and then you put on your Shabbos clothing, you take the money, or you take the fish, or you take the seeds, or you take the chicken, and you do kaparis. It's something which is b'derech kavod. As we said, you begin b'nei adam. This is not something that is in the realm of nichosh, because nichosh is not part of humanity. And then you say the mizmor of Tehillim, you say the zech alifasi, and ideally it seems the best thing would be that it should be done by someone for you. Someone does it for you, someone in your family, they say it for you. That really is something that's very beautiful minhag. That's the way it was done originally. It's a very serious minhag. A woman who's pregnant, there's a lot of Torah on this. A woman who's pregnant, how many times does she do kaparis? Let's say she's using birth persons. Another meaning is that if you're a man, they do this in some place. If you're a man, they give you a male bird. If you're a female, they give you a female. They give you. So a woman who's pregnant, so they give her both. So just three. She has one for herself, and she does not know. She doesn't have a sonogram. Does not know if she has a boy or a girl. They give her a male and a female. Some say, some strongly disagree. They say that uba yerechimo, one is enough for everything. Okay, so these are some of the minhagim, and there's a lot here, but you follow your custom. Have a wonderful day.